We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity segment / Author's Corner, Caregiver Dave segment. And I want to first welcome the program my co-host, Caregiver Dave. Dave, thanks for calling. And I know you just really enjoy the amazing stories we've had working together so far, haven't you?
Absolutely. Neil, you are amazing. And it's just an honor to co-host with you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And tell us who our guest is, another really exciting guest.
Michelle Staubach. We're honored to have her here, the daughter of a famous football player, Roger Staubach. So welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thanks, you guys, for having me. I'm excited.
And you decided not to go into pro football. You decided to actually become an author of a children's book. Actually, you're starting a series,
right.
It looks like. And I went on Amazon and took
a look
at it. And this is good stuff. The art is amazing. The storyline is amazing. I was reading the reviews you were getting. I think you hit a couple of home runs there, Michelle. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So let's start. What inspired you to create a children's book series of all things?
Gosh, I like to, when I go to schools and I'm with kids and I talk about how, you know, we're constantly evolving. I actually was a history major in college, and then I went to law school, and I was a lawyer for a while.
Oh, my.
And then I was home, home raising kids, and I journaled a lot and loved to write. And that led me, like, maybe 8 years ago, I had an idea of a nonfiction piece. And I enrolled in our SMU here in Dallas. They had a night program for writing. And I enrolled in that program with the idea to hone my writing skills and maybe write this one piece. And then I fell in love with creative writing. And that led then to writing the children's book. It was kind of a story that was in, I think we all have a core story. And the first book is a little bit, I think, my core story. It's fiction, but there's, you know, obviously some truth, I think, in all fiction. And so I studied under children authors and found a great children's editor and really fell in love with the picture book and writing and that format and telling a story, and I love sharing it with children. And so that began, and then I wrote the second. What's that?
Absolutely, Michelle. You love, Michelle, the whole thing about sharing it with children, right? To get to go and read your work to children, they just love it. It's part of why people love being children's book authors, to be able to see their eyes light up and how engaged they are for your creation, right?
Yes. I mean, it's one of my favorite things is going on the school visits. You know, because children, you got to love them, too. They're honest. They'll tell you what they think. But you walk through the story, and I learn from them every time something new. And the goal really is my goal with kids, too, is to make it exciting and fun to read. It's the foundation, really, of education. And so that's really my goal, too, is to try to engage them so they have a love for reading.
You talk about, Michelle, the love of reading and different things and writing this book. How did you come up with this idea for this children's series?
So the pitch, the first book, there was, like I said, it's this young girl in a big family feeling lost. She gets left behind and then decides to run away. She gets stuck in a laundry chute, and there, like I said, there are some truths to that. You'll notice in the book there's a number 12 jersey. Pidge is my mom's nickname growing up, so that's why I named the character that. I did have a kid really get stuck in our laundry chute. So there's little things that, I guess, help the story along. But I think the core is this young girl feeling a little lost in the shuffle and trying to find her purpose in life. And I think that represents me in a lot of ways. And so I really probably wrote that one from the heart. The second book is a pigeon decides with her buddy Maverick the dog to try out for the school musical. And that is she tries something new, which is big. I talk to kids about, you know, she has to learn how to sing and she gets a voice teacher and it's really hard. And it's about perseverance and sticking to your plan and what you what you have set your goal to do. And there's a quote in there I took from my dad where it says, unspectacular preparation equals spectacular results. And that the teacher tells her, and that I asked my dad one day what training camp was like, and he told me that. And I tell kids that, you know, our day-to-day life is kind of a grind, right? I mean, we're working, we're at school, we're prepping, we're, you know, writing drafts, but those
exactly.
things, when you work hard at something, you get a good result. But you have to work hard and to get those results. And so that's what the second book is a lot about, and following her dream.
Oh, wow. Let's go about this purpose thing. It's a very great point that you made. You know, growing up with such a successful, famous father, that is a challenge in itself. And then saying, hey, I can't reach the bar that he was able to reach. So is that one of the reasons you had that inadequacy thought process of your purpose, of really what you want to do in life?
You know, I think a little bit, yeah. You know, he's kind of bigger than life, it's a great life. I mean, you know, football, and the positives were great. But, you know, it was he was a football player and playing on Cowboys. And let me just tell you, it definitely was different in the 70s than it would be for now for a quarterback's kids. I mean, we had a pretty simple life and lived in a neighborhood. You didn't have to, you know, live behind a gate or anything like that. But I probably think that, you know, I sometimes think, I wish I just had his commitment, like, and drive, even still now, you know, he's working out every day and hard and doing the right thing. And so, yeah, I do think that probably did play a factor into thinking, you know, am I really good enough and what should I do?
Yeah. Hey, see, and that's where I would be thinking the same thing. I had the same kind of situation as a late bloomer, and that my father was number two ranked in the Naval Academy and was like a genius and all genius and went to MIT. I mean, just top-notch student. Very interesting. Look at it. He was class of 49 at the Naval Academy. So he was.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, he's still alive. He's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant man.
Right.
Literally, I had to go through my whole life. Well, you know, I was an average student. I got better and got pretty good grades down the line, went back and became a teacher. But I never had that pedigree. So I had that same thought process. Well, why is my dad just so smart and it takes me so much more time and I have to use the work ethic? Well, the more I learned about him, I found out one of the skills that I inherited was work ethic, that he, even though he was so good, you know, number one in his high school, then number two in the Naval Academy, and one of the top academic students, and then on to MIT and, you know, and a great naval career, then moved on into business as a major consultant. What I learned was it was his work ethic. Even though he was very intelligent, he worked very hard, and I inherited that. And then later on, it led to some of my success. So I think that that's the hard thing, is you look and say, oh, this was so easy for my dad. And that's how I felt. And now looking back, it's, well, he just took a different path. And once you found your purpose, things changed. And that's what it's kind of telling in this children's series, right?
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That we all have it in us. But it's, you know, you got to look at how to get there, and it's work. It's hard work, and it's put time in, but, you know, you can do it. I mean, of course, I'm not going to be an NFL football player, but I never had a desire to be an NFL football player.
So, yeah, exactly. So the character, let's move on next of your character. And
yeah.
So after finding her purpose, then it changes more in that they really can kind of transform their lives with already knowing their purpose, like in the second book that you've written, correct, in your series?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
She knows, you know, she can do it, and she also, the dog who she wants to try out too, who's a disaster, she also accepts him for who he is. And I talk to kids about that too. You know, we can't change people. Just love, you know, Maverick's not made to be in the theater, the dog. And so sometimes too, we need to love people for who they are instead of trying to change our friends or our family. And that's an important lesson. And the friendship she has with Billy in there. And Billy helps her through the whole process. So, there's a lot of little lessons in there that I talk to the kids about. And they're big life. They're little, but they're big life lessons.
Absolutely. And then we're talking to Michelle Staubach here in the Neil Haley Show. So looking at the next part of this amazing journey story in the book, you're not going to give away where the series goes next. So the second book is out. Am I correct, Michelle?
Second book is out, and I'm just like in the beginning stages of writing the third book. So I have like an idea of setting, but I don't really have the main, you know, all the elements down yet. So I'm working on that. That's what I need to be sitting down at my desk every day writing. it's hard. You're like,
My producer just informed me that my guest is back on the line. He must go ahead and get back and get him back on the line.
I'm back.
Hey, caregiver Dave. And this is the story, Michelle, that you're going to love about why Dave had to pop off, right? Dave, things like happen. He could tell a little bit of his background so you'd understand why he had to jump off a call. Yeah.
I'm a caregiver, and sometimes my wife needs me. I'm on 24-hour calls, so I'm back, though. Michelle, let me ask you a question about your first book, Where is Pidge?
Mm-hmm.
You are the middle child. It's usually thought that the first child gets beat up and they get experimented on and all the things that didn't work. They turn out to be pretty messed up. The baby usually has it easy. You know, they're just done and say, let him raise himself because I'm the baby. But tell us about why the middle child. I saw a lot of reviews on your book about, I can relate, middle child. What makes a middle child so unique?
So just like to clarify, so there's five of us in my family, and three of us were born like within 4 years while my dad was still serving his time in the Navy. So I'm the middle of those three girls. And then there's a 6-year gap. And then another brother and sister came along. So I'm the middle of the three. And I think, that's why I consider really myself as a middle child.
Yeah.
I think and it's funny, you know, my older sister's like, she's on city council in Dallas and kind of this big leader. And and the one right behind me is, she's real driven in a lot. She's a lawyer. And I think, like I said, I was a lawyer too, but I think when you're in the middle a little bit, you feel more and you kind of get bounced around a little bit. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's like the older sister's doing that or the younger ones, and you kind of feel a little lost, which I ultimately think builds character. But I tend to think you're the one that kind of is more sensitive.
Nice.
And I think that lends a lot to writing.
Well, it's great what
you
you're
feel
teaching
a lot.
Kids through these books. I mean, I bet your dad's really, really proud of you. How can parents or siblings let everyone in the family know that they're loved and important and not neglect anyone, you know, because remember the Smothers Brothers, that they really hit a nerve when they did that whole skit about, well, mom always liked you best, you know, And that's one reason why they soared to the top. So you're on a roll here on this topic.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm a parent of three, and I've got one in college and two in high school, and you know, it's hard. I mean, you're trying to balance loving each of them, you know, equally, but they're all different, and one may be more like you, or one, you know, may be easier. But
would
I
that
think
be the middle one by any chance?
Yeah. You know, right now the oldest, as long as they're not listening, has been the easiest one. But he's the boy. And then there's two
boys
girls.
Are easy.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
We all know that.
But then they don't talk a lot either, too. So, and we were just on a trip together, the five of us, my husband and three. And I said, sometimes they'll fight or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? You guys, I mean, it's you three. I mean, you guys are, you know, I mean, this is it. I mean, I hope you love each other forever and are there. I mean, I'm so close to my siblings. I mean, sure, we're different and we fight and different, but it's the core, and I think that really came from my parents, their love for each other and their commitment to each other really was, I think, a big factor in, you know, how they loved us. And that's what I think, you know, I remember when they were little and asking my dad, or what do you do? And he said, you know, Michelle, just love them, you know, just love your kids.
Great advice.
I think if you do that, I mean, you got to be a disciplinarian, you got to be a parent too, but,
yeah.
You know, if they know they're loved, I think that goes a long way.
Tell us about your cartoonist. This guy is amazing. And he's pretty
Bill,
famous.
Yeah.
Worked for the Dallas Morning News.
Morning News, yes.
Yeah,
he's great.
You
know, well, so obviously he's local. And when I was looking for an artist, somebody, mutual friend, mentioned Bill. He actually went to a Jesuit high school in Dallas, and I went to Ursuline. And so, you know, they're kind of, he's older than me, but someone mentioned him, and he's retired, and I met with him, and he's a character and just fun, and talked to him about partnering on it, and from there it went. And so that's been really fun to be involved in that part of the process, too.
Michelle, being a product of Catholic school, yeah. Go ahead,
Michelle.
What?
I was going to grab right to this question. Michelle, regarding the book, what's the feedback from your first book leading to your second book from children and also from adults that have read it so far? What feedback have you been getting?
Feedback? The first book, the kids, you mean when I read to the children and stuff,
yeah.
I get a...
Yeah, and then also
funny.
Adults feedback have written, that have read the book and have told you and stuff. Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I get a lot from the first that you really sense the love of the family and, you know, the care. And kids are, you know, always mesmerized by dogs, so they always have 100 questions about Maverick, too. But I get that a lot about, you know, you feel the love of the family. And in the second book, I've been getting, the more, more that it's fun and it's great to see Pidge trying new things and how that is a big thing to encourage kids to do is to try to go out of their safety box. And teachers love that, you know, example.
Great.
So is it hard being in your father's shadow? I mean, wow, Roger Staubach.
Yes and no. I mean, it's a blessing, and you know, like I said, the good outweighs the sometimes the negatives when you're younger, and you just are like, I'd rather him just be a dad and not necessarily have to be stopped. And but again, you know, it was the press, and it wasn't like it was today. So it was, and you know, my mom and dad are real normal, simple, and so you know, it is.
Are they in good health?
Yeah, they're in great health. They're both 76. I mean, like I said, my dad works out every day.
Blessing. Wow.
I just live a mile from them. So it's, yeah, they're in, so we see them a lot. And, you know, nobody,
fortunate.
I guess, you know, it's not growing up like OJ, if you were OJ's kid or something. I mean, nobody has anything. Yeah, I mean, that's an extreme. But it's usually, I mean, people have such positive things. People have such positive things to say. You know, it's never like, oh, you know, God, I saw your dad, you know, here, or he did this for me. And so that's, you know.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times, you know, people I talk to, because I'm a caregiver and I have a website and a blog and everything. About 35,000 people follow me. You hear just some horror stories about the parents, you know, getting elderly and getting feeble, and they fall, break a hip, and now they're their caregiver, and just, you know, you might have another 10 years to go before any of that happens, but you're blessed.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And
very blessed.
And where's the best place? Where's the best place we can buy your book and learn more about you? Where can we go?
The best way is Amazon is probably the fastest way to buy the book, and then whereispidge.com. is my website, and people can email me through that, and also on Facebook, Where Is Pidge? People can contact me through there.
And awesome. Michelle, I asked this question last time when I talked to your father. A good friend of mine, I tutor their kids, is the Millers, and they grew up in the time, and Roger remembers them. Do you remember the Miller family, and they're out by you and stuff like that? I was wondering if it's
a connection
to remember.
Julie?
Yeah.
Julie Miller?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was our babysitter all the time.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
yeah, how do you know them?
Travis lives in Pittsburgh and his kids, and they're the big Miller clan from out in Dallas area that knew Roger and all that stuff growing up. And he brought up that story. So, yeah. Yes. So that's a funny connection. Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because I brought up that same connection with Roger. So, yeah, funny for sure.
Awesome. Yeah,
well,
we knew them.
Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed the conversation. Great stories, and best success on that third book. And when the third book comes out, feel free to reach out to me again, okay?
All right. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good day.
You too.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Well, anybody who wants to get a hold of me, Neil, can either Google Dave or caregiver. Those two words will work. Also, DaveTheCaregiver.com will work. Caregiver Dave, caregiver's caregiver, Dave the caregiver's caregiver. I mean, I made it so impossible for you not to find me. So just go there, watch my welcome video. It'll explain who I am, what I do, what I offer. But basically, we can help keep caregivers alive, keep them out of the hospital, and keep them from being suicidal. So that's my mission in life. So anyone out there who is a caregiver, join me. Anyone who knows a caregiver, send them to my website. Thank you.